أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Savadur Sarva Lijiye, mobile phone bank Lijiyega. Please straighten the rows, turn off your mobile phones. Allahu Akbar.
الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
دوبارہ ان شاء الله نیت کر لیں ساتھی جزاك الله الله أكبر الله أكبر سميع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
برادران اسلام السلام عليكم جیسے کہ ہم نے زور پہ اعلان کیا تھا کہ یورپ کا کیپٹل جو بیلجیم ہے وہاں سٹی ہے برپن عرصہ 26 سال سے ہم عقیدہ ختم نبوت کے تحفظ کا کام کر رہے ہیں میرے عزیز ساتھیوں پہلی مسجد پر گورنمنٹ نے پابندی لگائی تھی تو ہم نے 8 سال پہلے محنت کر کے آپ حضرات کے پاس بھی آئے تھے کہ بہت بڑا چرچ خریدا ہے جس میں مسجد مدرسہ اور سارے کام جو دعوت تبلیغ کے ہو رہے ہیں یہ پچھلے دنوں سٹی گورنمنٹ نے مسجد کا چھت چیک کیا ہے شکایت کے اوپر, تو اس کو پہلے سے کو ریجیکٹ کر دیا ہے, تو اس کا کام کرانا ہے, اس کے لیے 125,000 یورو کی ضرورت ہے, اور ہم نے 21 ونڈو لگانی ہے, ایک ونڈو کی قیمت 600 ہے. رات بھر بائی روڈ سفر کر کے آپ حضرات کے ساتھ صبح 12 بجے پہنچا ہوں, اس لیے کہ ہم تو 200-300 آدمی ہیں وہاں پر. پہلے آپ نے مدد کی تھی, ہم نے اللہ کا گھر وہ چرچ خریدا تھا, آج وہ آباد ہے, اس لیے آپ کے پاس دوبارہ ایک مہینے کے لیے یو کے میں آئے ہیں. آپ حضرات ہمارا تعاون فرمائیں, آپ کی تعاون سے ہماری مسجد کا چھت مکمل ہوگا, اللہ آپ کی حفاظت فرمائیں گے, آپ ونڈو لگائیں گے, اللہ تعالیٰ آپ کے ماں باپ کی قبر میں ونڈو لگائے گا. عشاء تک آپ کی مسجد میں ہے, ڈیٹیل لیفلیٹ پر لکھی ہوئی ہے, اس کو ضرور پڑھیں. حضرت شاہ صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ فرمایا کرتے تھے, امیر شریعت سید عطا اللہ شاہ بخاری, کسی نے سوال کیا تھا, شاہ جی صدقہ زکوٰۃ تو سارے دینے ہیں, کیا للہ منگتے ہو؟ للہ کا بھی اللہ نے کوئی اجر رکھا ہے؟ تو شاہ صاحب فرماتے تھے للہ کے تو مزے ہی مزے ہیں. کہا کیسے؟ فرمایا کہ اللہ تعالیٰ نے ارشاد فرمایا, پھر حضرت شاہ صاحب یہ پرانے لوگ جانتے ہیں, شاہ صاحب کو قرآن کی آیت پڑھتے تھے, اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم, من ذا الذی یقرض اللہ قرضا حسنا فیضاعفہ لہ اضعافا کثیرا. لوگو اللہ تم سے قرض مانگتے اور اللہ وعدہ کرتے ہم اس قرض کو لٹائیں گے, یا اللہ دوں کیا ملے گا؟ کیا فرمایا جو تمہارے پاس ہے تم دے دو, جو اللہ کے خزانے میں ہے وہ تمہیں ملے گا. حضرت شاہ صاحب فرماتے ہیں قرآن میں آتا ہے, ما عندکم ینفد وما عند اللہ باق, جو تم نے کمایا سب فنا, لیکن اللہ کے خزانہ میں کبھی کمی واقع ہوتی نہیں. واللہ یقبض ویبسط وإلیہ ترجعون, سب نے لوٹ کر اللہ کے ہی پاس آنا ہے. تو عشاء تک آپ کی مسجد میں ہے, آپ حضرات سے درخواست ہے کہ بڑھ چڑھ کر حصہ لیں. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ آپ کے تمام معاملات میں خیر و عافیت فرمائے.
برادرز, حضرات گرامی, جس طرح آپ حضرات کو معلوم ہوگا کہ پہلے بھی ہم نے الحمدللہ امہ ویلفیئر ٹرسٹ کے ساتھ مل کر کافی پروجیکٹس میں ہم نے شرکت کیا ہے. وی پارٹیسپیٹڈ ان مینی پروجیکٹس ود امہ ویلفیئر ٹرسٹ. دیر آر گلوبل ماشاء اللہ چیریٹی دا ورک آن دا انٹرنیشنل لیول. یہ چیریٹی ایک ایسی تنظیم ہے جو عالمی سطح پر کام کرتی ہیں. تو الحمدللہ آج وہ کچھ فیڈ بیک دیں گے ہم کو کہ جو ہم سے انہوں نے رقم لیا ہے, کہاں خرچ کی ہے, کن چیزوں کے اوپر انہوں نے صرف کی ہے, اور ساتھ ساتھ ایک پروگرام بھی ہوگا جس میں کچھ قراءت نشید اور ساتھ ساتھ بیان بھی ہوگا. سو دل بی اے شارٹ پروگرام ٹوڈے ان شاء اللہ, دل بی قراءت نشید انٹائر پروگرام ود بیان ایز ویل اے ٹاک ایز ویل. سو برادرز ریکویسٹڈ آفٹر دا دعا ٹو اسٹے سیٹڈ اینڈ پارٹیسپیٹ, اینڈ دوز برادرز اینڈ سسٹرز ہو آر لسننگ, ہو آر اسٹل ایٹ ہوم, ہو ہیون یٹ میڈ دا وے ٹو دا مسجد, پلیز میک این ایفرٹ ٹو کم ٹو دا مسجد اینڈ پارٹیسپیٹ ان دا پروگرام ٹیکنگ پلیس. جزاک اللہ خیرا. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اللہم صل علی سیدنا محمد وعلی سیدنا محمد. بارک اللہ فی آتنا فی الدنیا حسنہ وفی الآخرۃ حسنہ وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب, رب اغفر وارحم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى, واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم لا تقتلنا بغضبك ولا تهلكنا بعذابك, وعافنا قبل ذلك يا رب العالمين. اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك, وأتمم علينا نعمتك, وأسبغ علينا من فضلك, وجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ, ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم, وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين, برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Shall I pass it over to Brother Junaid?
Come closer, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair.
Leave it, I'll change it for you.
My respected elders, brothers, young ones and sisters upstairs or listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Ummah Welfare Trust, first and foremost, would like to thank the Imam Sahab, the committee members, the relevant people and brothers in charge who helped us facilitate this event. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep this ajr, bless them in this world and in the hereafter. Ummah Welfare Trust, alhamdulillah, we have various projects around the world. We have banners. If you look around us, we have banners here that we do projects around the world. Sisters upstairs will see banners in upstairs rooms as well. And alhamdulillah, Mashda Hamza and the people of this community have helped Ummah Welfare Trust immensely in the last few years in donating towards these campaigns. Inshallah, today's event is going to be a very short event. Inshallah, we will have a short qira'ah and a nasheed by our PR manager of the Northwest, Brother Junaid, and we'll have a very short but inshallah important and very severe reminder from our Sheikh, Sheikh Adam Saab. So I will start off inshallah with Hafiz Abu Bakr. Hafiz Saab is also a student in Oldham. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take the khidmah of deen of him as well. Jazakallah khair.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه بلى قادرين على أن نسوي بنانه بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه يسأل أيان يوم القيامة فإذا برق البصر وخسف القمر وجمع الشمس والقمر يقول الإنسان يومئذ أين المفر كلا لا وزر إلى ربك يومئذ المستقر ينبأ الإنسان بما قدم وأخر بل الإنسان على نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيرة لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه كلا بل تحبون العاجلة وتذرون الآخرة وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة ووجوه يومئذ باصرة تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق وظن أنه الفراق والتفت الساق بالساق إلى ربك يومئذ المساق فلا صدق ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب إلى أهله يتمطى أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك سدى ألم يك نطفة من مني يمنى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve Hafiz Saab and beautify his voice even more. Next, I would like to call upon Brother Junaid. He will enlighten us with a very beautiful nasheed called Life with Allah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A little bit louder. I know it's evening time, alhamdulillah. Just a little bit louder when I say salams. Aloud. Wa alaikum salam, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. This nasheed is called Live Your Life with Allah, inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to live every single second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, and the rest of our lives with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Durood Sharif, inshallah.
لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هلا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هلا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله Together. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Follow the commandments of Allah. Spend on the ummah attain taqwa. Pour out your heart whilst in sajda. Taste the sweetness of salah. Morning and evening read daily adhkar. For any illnesses perform ruqya. You find peace turning only to Allah. Indeed I am near wherever you are. لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هلا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هلا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا
Together in one voice, inshallah, we're going to pray. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله Together inshallah. 3, 2, 1.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Do you live your life with Allah. Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Let's start afresh now, inshaAllah. Repent sincerely, do istighfar. One of his many names is Al-Ghaffar. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. If you haven't lived your life with Allah, send salawat and praise Allah. You'll be with whom you love in Jannah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah. If you haven't lived your life with Allah, send salawat and praise Allah. You'll be with whom you love in Jannah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah.
Jazakum Allah khair. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. First and foremost, myself, I would like to also thank every single person here who is present today for joining and participating in this event. Alhamdulillah, not only will we benefit from the beneficial reminders from Sheikh Adam, but also we will have this worry and concern for our own iman, for the iman of our family, our children, our progeny, and for the worry and the concern of the ummah. Because ultimately, we have to make a difference within ourselves to help make a difference around the world. Alhamdulillah, Ummah Welfare Trust have been operating since 2001. I just want to give you a brief introduction about the background of Ummah Welfare Trust. Ummah Welfare Trust, alhamdulillah, like I mentioned, has been, the inception started since 2001, is guided by the ulama. This is one unique thing about Ummah Welfare Trust. If you look to my right hand side, just processing one moment, inshaAllah ta'ala. As I mentioned, Ummah Welfare Trust, alhamdulillah, is guided by the ulama. Whatever we do, the way we take in donations, the way we distribute donations, the way we also deliver the donations, selecting the beneficiaries on the ground, and so on and so forth, everything is compliant with the Sharia. Even when we are volunteering, alhamdulillah, we ensure that we volunteer in the manner that Islam allows us to volunteer. And volunteers are the backbone of this charity. Let me just put this out there. Without the volunteers, without the du'as, the well wishes, the donations, the qurbani, the sacrifice, Ummah Welfare Trust will not be here today. Alhamdulillah, since 2001, till this day, over 35 million beneficiaries, rightful owners, have received their amana because of this qurbani, this sacrifice, and the amazing donations from you all here today and those around the world. Ummah Welfare Trust, our aims, our ethos, our values is to preserve life, faith and humanity with compassion and with sacrifice. SubhanAllah, many, many volunteers, they come fi sabilillah wanting to make a difference, and staff, tirelessly working. This is how we are ensuring that your amana is being dealt with the most professionalism, the utmost integrity and due care. Moving on, delivering 100% donations. This is the main topic. Whenever somebody wants to donate, they always, they always ask this question: are you 100% donations policy? Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We can confidently say that Ummah Welfare Trust is 100% donation, structured because of the four avenues that we have here. One of the ways that we gain the revenue for our admin pot is donations specified for admin costs. So sometimes people will say, I've donated to Palestine, I've donated to, I've donated to, different place. I want to donate now specifically for the charity. The beautiful thing about this is the sadaqatun jariyah within it. When you donate to Ummah Welfare Trust to help with the operational side of things, because there are big costs that come with every single foundation or every single logistic that comes with it. So alhamdulillah, businessmen, working class guys, they come and they donate their donation specifically for admin. So this is one of the ways that we generate revenue for the admin, which helps the salaries, the maintenance, utilities and more. Second way is tax relief claimed on donations. If you are UK taxpayer, if you have been donating and you have not been applying gift aid on your donations, please do so if you are UK taxpayer, because it only benefits not only yourself but the charity as well. Alhamdulillah, your donation of £100 can accumulate to £125, where £100 of your donation goes straight into the donations bank, and the £25 that the government incentivizes the charity, that goes into a separate bank which helps Ummah Welfare Trust run its day-to-day operations. Profits from the charity shops. You may have seen some shops up and down the country. Alhamdulillah, we have approximately 11 shops where we receive goods from the public. So sometimes somebody might not be wearing a jacket and it's nice and they don't want to recycle it, so they want to give it to the shops. We can sell items like this and we can generate money. Any profits that we receive, that will go back into the admin pot and assist the charity with the operations. And lastly, you might have seen some recycled clothing banks, alhamdulillah. Now these clothing banks, whatever clothes we get, whether it's rags, whether it's good clothes, it all centralizes in Bradford warehouse, alhamdulillah, where we have a team, a specialized team, where they siphon through the clothes. Anything that is non-useful, we basically get that sold. Whatever money we make from that, it goes into the admin pot, alhamdulillah. Any surplus funds will go directly back into charity. Alhamdulillah, last year over £2 million was put back in from the admin funds back into the charity, because there is a bigger need out there. Subhanallah, whatever we give, it will never be enough, because the need and the suffering of the ummah is always increasing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of our brothers and sisters across the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow us to be in that situation, and always allow us to dispatch sadaqah, zakah, lillah, and donate our time for the brothers and sisters and for the ummah and for the khidmat of the deen as well. Moving on, inshaAllah ta'ala, al-hayatu ma'allah, a beautiful team we have now at the headquarters in Bolton, where they are now. We have brothers and shuyukh from all over the world helping out with the publications of this as well, alhamdulillah. You might have seen it on our desk at the front with the entrance. If you haven't got one of your books, please do get one. It's completely free, and you can even pick one up for your loved one. We have a different versions of the publications here: Ayam Niya, Ruqya, Salah book, Taste the Sweetness of Salah, and we have the Adhkar books, beautiful books. We also have an app. If anybody hasn't got this app, it's called the Dhikr and Dua app. This app is beautiful. It's got some amazing features. Go on your app store, download it, and you can also see on that back banner there where I'm pointing with the laser, you can scan your barcode there as well, exactly where I'm pointing, and you can download the app, inshallah ta'ala. This is very important, not only for day-to-day stuff, is because our spiritual aspect needs to be increased as well. The way we eat and drink is the way we need to feed the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest and peace. So inshallah ta'ala, this was just a quick brief. I would like to show you a video, shortly after this, with the contributions that Mashri Hamza has done in the past few years. Absolutely phenomenal response. Every single time that there has been a crisis within the ummah, the trustees, the imam sahab, the responsible elders, the musallis, the volunteers, every single person has played their part, and they have raised substantial amount of money over the years, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So inshallah, I'll play the video right now, And we will be moving on for the main bayan insha'Allah ta'ala. Sorry, one moment, inshallah.
Masjid-e Hamza raised over £14,000 for their besieged brothers and sisters in Gaza, alhamdulillah. Ummah Welfare Trust used their donation to provide emergency food supplies to hundreds of survivors of the terrible bombings. A year later, you responded to the devastating earthquake that rocked East Afghanistan, where over 1,500 Muslims lost their lives. Your donation of nearly £11,000 was used by Ummah Welfare Trust to provide food to surviving families who'd lost everything. A short time later, flash floods had rocked both Pakistan and Bangladesh, inundating millions of our brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah, the sincere Muslims at Masjid-e Hamza stepped up again, helping dispossessed families with food and hygiene supplies. In East Africa, it was too little water that caused the suffering of Muslims. The drought hit communities here, you raised over £11,000 to provide food supplies to families who'd lost their livestock. More recently this year, in response to the massive earthquake that rocked both Turkey and Syria, mashallah, you raised £20,000 to deliver food and household supplies to devastated communities. In just 3 years, you have helped thousands of our brothers and sisters overcome terrible disasters. May Allah continue to aid and honor you, just like you have done so for Muslims both near and far.
SubhanAllah, just watching the recap or the summary of these projects, it brings the tears to my eyes, SubhanAllah. Something reflected to me and resonated with me when I was in Somalia. When I was in Somalia, SubhanAllah, in January, we were in an ICU ward. Now just imagine, you are looking at children who are literally staring death in the face. We are saying to the doctors, what is the condition of this baby? And the doctors are saying, this baby is in the last final stage. It is very, very difficult for us to try and help this malnourished, severely malnourished baby. And as a father, you know, that was very, very painful. You know, these donations that the masjid and those people, the du'as of those people for the suffering, it goes a long, long way. And I saw it with my own eyes, subhanAllah. I've been to many countries, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to go and, you know, meet our brothers and sisters in person and to see it. But to see these children, subhanAllah, the future of Islam, can you imagine? They are literally on the throes of death because they had literally no food. We went into the camps where we were visiting into these camps. We can hear buzzing noises. The maktab, the madrasa, would be absolutely filled with young students yearning and having the zeal to become hafid of the Quran. These children, same children, they don't have no more than one meal. Some of them don't even have that meal. They are so thirsty when they are reciting the Quran, their voice is cracking. When I am telling them to recite in these small 6-foot by 8-foot huts, it's so stuffy, they are not even being able to recite the Quran. The donations when it receives to these, when the donations reach these people, subhanAllah, it is making a huge impact. When I was in that hospital, I said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my heart, I said, oh Allah, today I wish I was blind so I didn't see this suffering. Oh Allah, today I wish I was deaf so I couldn't hear the screams and the cries of these children. It was one of the most painful, most harrowing visits I've ever made in my humanitarian career. Sheikh Adam, mashallah, he's just been recently to Turkey as well. And where he went, Turkey City, to go and aid our brothers and sisters to do the assessment on the ground. And likewise there, he would see people literally who had everything the night before, and within one night, every single thing that they possessed vanished. How insignificant would we feel if we went back to our house, to our postcode, and we saw our house literally crumbled right in front of us, and families were buried underneath these buildings, subhanAllah. Your donations, they're not just filling the bellies of beneficiaries of the poor people. The donations are reaching the poor people so that we can still carry this banner of Islam. This is the future of Islam, the young generation. And alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, it makes me so happy that we see masajid like Masjid Hamza. Whenever there was a crisis, starting all the way from Afghanistan, from Bangladesh, to Pakistan, to Somalia, to Palestine even before that, and Turkey, Syria. Every time, mashallah, the responsible elders, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them ajr, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all for this swift response, because swift response is what we need. This is not the time to think about politics or anything like this. This is the time to respond. Choose a charity that you are comfortable with. If you do not feel comfortable with Ummah Welfare Trust, then still give, but give to a charity that you trust. But alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, all the £70,000 plus that you donated with us, alhamdulillah, was delivered in the correct manner. The du'as were priceless from these people. You know, just want to just touch upon one thing before Shaykh, you know, he blesses us with a bayan on the signs of the Day of Judgment. We are involved at this time in one of the worst fitan. There is every single, you know, where that you look, every angle that we look at, we are seeing fitan. We are seeing music. We are seeing haram. There's family members that we have that do not care about consuming riba. All these things, these should be very concerning to us. Those people who are following Islam to how it should be followed are being called strangers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, "Kullu nafsin da'ikatul maut." Every soul will taste the taste of death. Indeed, we will all meet death, and that is the biggest guarantee of life. Where there's life, there is death. Subhanallah, what are we going to present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When are we going to change? When are we going to make a difference? When are we going to put our akhirah at the forefront and the dunya? We have to do every single thing that we do for the dunya, we have to do even more for the akhirah. Because our biggest test will be in the grave, where the angels will ask us, who is your Lord? Then your mouth will not speak. Your actions and your heart will speak. Your soul will speak. If you lived Islam, like in my nasheed, I said, live your life with Allah. If you lived your life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then surely your heart will say Allah. Then the angel will ask, what is your deen? If you were in, you know, if you were engulfed, engrossed in the dunya, in work, in money, in football, in frivolous things that were not concerning us, then our heart will speak, and our heart will say, and our soul will say, whatever we did in the world. If we lived our life with Allah, then our heart surely will say Islam. And the last one, when we are presented with the beautiful face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will we recognize him? Did we follow his sunnah? Did we visit the sick? Did we feed the poor? Did we be respectful to our parents? Did we fulfill the rights of our children as parents? All these things, we will be held accountable. And this first test in the qabr, in the grave, will be the biggest test. Sheikh Muhammad Sirat, we were at a funeral of one of our volunteers, fathers that passed away. And Sheikh mentioned this, and this shook me to the core. Subhanallah. Everything that I'm doing in this world is going to boil down to three questions. And many of these people who have left this world through earthquakes, through floods, through droughts, alhamdulillah, inshallah ta'ala, they are victorious in the hereafter. We have seen videos of shuhada who are smiling with the biggest smile, east to west smile, subhanallah. How are we going to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How will we return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is just a plea for you all to continue to keep giving, to continue to rectify our own self, to continue to make a noise, create a noise when it comes to the suffering of our brothers and sisters. We don't care. If I am from India, I'm not just going to talk about India. We don't have selective compassion here. We are going to be talking about those people in Africa, those people in the Arab states, those people in Asia. We will talk about every single place. Why? Because the ummah is like one body. When one part of the body pains, the rest of the body also should feel that pain. Ending in a hadith is mentioned, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman tabaraka wa ta'ala, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamukum man fis sama. That the merciful people will be shown mercy by the most merciful. So be merciful on all those who are on the earth. I repeat, so be merciful on all those who are on the earth. This doesn't just include humans. This includes even animals. This includes even plantation. Be merciful on all those who are on the earth, and the one who is in the heavens will show you mercy. Subhanallah. Are we not in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy? Of course we are. This is one of the beautiful ways to be connected with Islam, to be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to appreciate what we have before it becomes what we had. Without further ado, inshallah ta'ala, don't want to take too much time. Sheikh inshallah will bless us with some words and hopefully give us an eyewitness, a short eyewitness of his time in Sham as well, inshallah. Sheikh Adam bin Yusuf from Bali. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi amma ba'd. Qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ba'da wa dhubillahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Fahal yanzuruna illa sa'ata an ta'atiyahum baghta faqad jaa ashratuha fa anna lahum idha jaa'atuhum dhikrahum. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعثت أنا والساعة كهاتين. Respected brothers, sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to use you for his deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to give you his tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to die with iman, as Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam said to his children, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not let yourself die except in the state of Islam and submission and iman to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse that I just recited before you, فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَ. Regarding the kuffar, that what do they wait for except for the hour, meaning the day of judgment, that it comes upon them suddenly. فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاتُهَا. even though the signs of the Day of Judgment have already come. فَأَنَّا لَهُمْ إِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ ذِكْرَاهُمْ. How will the reminders benefit them when the hour comes onto them? It'll be too late. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His immense mercy and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they have both mentioned so many signs of the Day of Judgment. And the reason for that is so that we, it's not for entertainment, that we talk about Dajjal and Ya'juj Ma'juj and Isa alayhi salam coming. Many people find this a source of entertainment. We're not talking about movies of Hollywood or Bollywood. These are real life incidents that will happen. And today, inshallah, with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, I'm going to share with you some signs of the Day of Judgment which we have most definitely seen in our lives and we continue to see today. And just before I start, I'd like to mention that not every sign of the Day of Judgment is something which is negative or haram. Not every sign of the Day of Judgment is something which is negative or haram. Sometimes signs are there just as a sign, meaning it's not in itself haram or something forbidden. So just bear that in mind, inshallah. So I'll go in not any order, just some ahadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which many ulama have collated when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned regarding the Day of Judgment. The first sign where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that count six things before the Day of Judgment. One of them, mawti, the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one of the major signs of the Day of Judgment. And that's why in one hadith, Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةُ كَهَاتَيْنِ. That me and the Day of Judgment, we've been sent like this. Meaning we're this close. The coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Day of Judgment is this close. Now you may ask the question that it's been 1400 years since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away and we still haven't seen the Day of Judgment. Not that it's something you want to see. Then how do you combine or how do you understand this hadith? The ulama have explained, Imam Qurtubi and others, that if you look at the age of the dunya, you know, people talk about the fossil fuels and the fossils and all of these things that they find about dinosaurs so many million years ago, they're just random numbers that they give. But anyway, the earth did start at one point. Allah did create the earth at one point. If you compare the earth or the birth of the earth till the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you look at that time and then you compare the time from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till the Day of Judgment, it's this small in comparison to the earth, the age of the earth. So that's why the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bu'ithu ana was-sa'atu kahatayn," that me and the Day of Judgment have been sent this close. In another hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La taqumu as-sa'atu حتى يخرج ثلاثون كذابا كلهم يزعم أنه نبي أو في رواية آخرهم الدجال." That the Day of Judgment will not come until 30 liars will appear. Liars who will claim prophethood. Now if you look into the history of Islam, there's been many, many people who had claimed prophethood. This hadith is talking about 30 major liars who will falsely claim to be the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last major one in our era was obviously Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani or the Ahmadiyya of our time. But there's been many others, obviously you've probably seen on YouTube and others as well, where people claim, whether it be in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, here in the UK, many places people claim of being prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said the last of these liars will be none other than Al-Masih al-Dajjal. Yeah, it will be the Dajjal, the Antichrist. And the Dajjal, the reason why he's called Dajjal, it comes from the word Dajjal, which means to confuse and to inflate things and to make things appear as what they not really are. And that's why it's going to be written on his forehead, Kafir. Every person will see, every believer that will see that, they will recognize that this is the Masih al-Dajjal. And still, obviously, people will fall in his trap. But that's another topic in itself regarding Ad-Dajjal. Another sign of the Day of Judgment. Like I mentioned, these are not in any order, but this random what I mentioned in the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. One sign the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى تزول الجبال عن أماكنها. The Day of Judgment will not come until mountains will move from their places. Now, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't have no machinery. They didn't have no equipment to dig mountains. If you look at this, talk about the Umm al-Qura, the Makkah, Makkah al-Mukarram. Many Haji sahabs over here, if you remember when you went for Hajj in the 70s, 60s, Makkah was surrounded by mountains. Loads and loads of mountains. Even where the so-called clock tower is and the palace and all of that, all of these areas were surrounded by mountains. Today, where are these mountains? They've all disappeared. Tunnels have been dug through them. In Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah, many of these places. So the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he says that the mountains will move from the places, either naturally or by making them move, you know, physically, deliberately, by engineering. Both of these meanings can be taken from the Hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. And we hear, obviously, subhanAllah, when we have earthquakes, how mountains, hillsides disappear. In Pakistan, when the earthquake happened a couple of years ago, in Balochistan, if I remember correctly, a mountain appeared in the middle of the sea and then it disappeared because of the earthquake. So this is something which is mentioned in the Hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Another Hadith, and this is subhanAllah so ajeeb, it's happening right now in front of us. And again, it's to do with the geographical state of the Ummah or the actual countries where the Muslims reside. The Holy Prophet ﷺ says, لَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى تَعُودَ أَرْضُ الْعَرَبِي مُرَوَجًا وَأَنْهَارًا. That the Day of Judgment will not come until the land of Arabia, the land of the Arabs, will return back to being meadows and streams. We all know during the time of Prophet ﷺ, Makkah, Medina, all of these lands were dry. They could hardly find water. The whole story of Ibrahim ﷺ and his wife Hajar in Makkah, why she was running between Mount Safa and Marwa, why was all that for? In search of water, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Zamzam. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying this hadith that the Day of Judgment will not come until the land of Arabia returns back to being green and lush and full of vegetation. Just look at the, forget the entire year, just look at the Hajj season in the past 6-7 years. How much it rained in Makkah, Mukarramah, Arafat, Mina, Muzdalifah. Look at the land between Makkah and Medina. For those of you that have been there many, many years ago and you go now, before it was all barren, all sand and desert. And now it's becoming greener and greener. You know, one area, subhanAllah, one year it was dust and sand and dry. Next minute it's like you're in England or Switzerland or Kashmir, full of vegetation. And in this hadith, the Holy Prophet says, حَتَّى تَعُودَ أَرْضُ الْعَرَبِ. It gives you the benefit that at one point, many, many millions of years ago, the land of Arabia was green. And it changed to become a desert. And then it's going to become back to greenery again. That's happening in front of our eyes today. If you have any Hajj sahabs, they will tell you, we went for Hajj this year, last year, previous years, how much rain has been coming in the recent years in these lands of Haram and Makkah and Medina and these places. SubhanAllah, another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a very general one, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يقبض العلم. The Day of Judgment will not happen until knowledge will be uplifted. Knowledge will be taken away. And how will knowledge be taken away? Will the Quran and the books be taken away? No. Although this will happen at a later stage. But إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْتَزِعُ الْعِلْمَ إِنْتِزَاعًا وَلَكِنْ يَنْتَزِعُهُ بِقَبْضِ الْعُلَمَاء. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not snatch out knowledge from the hearts of people, ولكن, but rather He will take away the ulama. He will take away righteous ulama. Ulama who are grounded in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ulama of tawheed, ulama of understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who understand the Quran in its correct manner. Not speakers and entertainers that we find on YouTube and Snapchat and TikTok and the rest of it. These are not ulama. These are just people who've got the gift of the gab. Ulama are taken away. If you look in our own countries, in India, Pakistan, in Makkah, Medina, in the recent years, how many ulama have been either killed, martyred, or passed away? Ulama, you know, giants in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Giants in the science of hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we're left with these YouTube celebrities, you know, who one day say one thing, next day they say something. One day they get a payment from a certain government, they'll say something. Next day they will say something else. And this is again another sign of the Day of Judgment. The Holy Prophet ﷺ says that you will be, and I'm just paraphrasing the hadith, that you'll be in khair as long as your ulama do not incline towards your umara. Meaning they don't become close to the leaders and the sultan. And that's why Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi rahmatullah alayhi, in his book Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, he says that whoever man taqarraba ila sultani uftutin, whichever from the ulama comes close to the government, close to the leaders, he will be tested. Or don't go near him. Why? فَإِنَّهُ لَنْ يَنَالُ مِنْكَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ مَا تَنَالُ مِنْ. Or vice versa. He says that he will not give you anything. He will not let you come as a VIP until he has taken something from you and you've taken something from him. Meaning, there'll be an exchange of benefits. We'll give you this mansab, we'll give you this platform, but you justify my wrongs and my haram that I'm doing, or you just, you know, keep the masses quiet, tell them that no, I'm doing fine. This is again a sign of the Day of Judgment. Another hadith, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, سَيَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ أُمَّتِي مَسْخٌ وَخَسْفٌ وَقَذْفٌ. That on the last part of this ummah, what will happen, there will be mask, transfiguration of the faces, وَقَذْفٌ, and pelting of the stones, and وَخَسْفٌ, and landslides. The Sahabas asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قِلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَنَهْلَكُ فِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ قَالَ نَعَمْ إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخُبُثُ. The Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, can this happen to us? Can we be destroyed like this whilst we still have righteous people inside us or within us and among us? The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخُبُثُ. When the balance of evil is more than the balance of goodness, then this will happen. And we see this, for example, you know, there were videos circulating whilst the Americans were in Afghanistan of how hailstones were hailing down on them. So the size of a golf ball, literally smashing windows. And it happens in many different countries, Indonesia, other countries as well, even now, as a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just on this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ لِيُهْلِكَ الْقُرَى بِظُلْمٍ وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would never destroy a nation, an area, due to oppression. وَأَهْلُهَا مُصْلِحُونَ. Whilst the people of that area are reformers. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying muslihun, not salihun. Salih is someone who is righteous himself. Yeah? Someone who is praying his salah, is doing his things, and he's not bothered about anyone else, which in itself is a sin. Wa ahluha muslihun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but this is not going to be your protection. And even us, in our culture, we like someone who is what we call dindar, meaning religious. He prays his salah, he does his Quran, he keeps a beard, she wears a hijab. We like this type of person. But as soon as that person, that Mr. Good and Mrs. Good, as soon as they start saying that stop doing this, this is haram, stop listening to music, stop having mixed gatherings, stop doing this and that, which are totally forbidden in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that person becomes an outcast. Then no one likes that person. And this was the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one liked them. Why? Because they weren't salih within themselves, even though, you know, that was an outstanding quality. They weren't just worried about themselves. Rather, they were muslihun. They reformed the society. And that's why anyone who starts reformation will be hated. And that's why, if I take you back to the beginning of the wahi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did Waraqa bin Nawfal say to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when Waraqa said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that مَا جَاءَ أَحَدٌ بِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا وَقَدْ عَادَهُ النَّاسُ وَأَخْرَجُوهُ. When he told him that, you know, you're going to be exiled from your country, from your city, from Mecca, the most beloved place, the Prophet said, "Awa mukhrijiyahum, are they going to really throw me out of Mecca?" You know, imagine someone pushed you out of your home. So the Prophet said to Waraqa, "Are they really going to throw me out?" And then Waraqa bin Nawfal, he said to him that no one has come with the message that you came with except people opposed them and caused them harm. And that's exactly what happened to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was that point of muslihun. Yeah, that when the balance of evil increases and the balance of good decreases, then there will be this punishment where faces will be, you know, transfigured. And you know, there's a saying about someone who has a dog, that the dog always, or the dog owner resembles the dog. Wallahi, it's true. You see that in the people's faces, subhanAllah. Even Muslims now, you know, it's a sign of pride and honor that I've got a Rottweiler or a German Shepherd or a, you know, husky or whatever these dogs are. And this is, subhanAllah, this is what the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ is mentioning. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and again, to understand this, you really need to understand the value of iman. The Prophet ﷺ says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ الْقَابِذُ عَلَى دِينِهِ كَالْقَابِذِ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ. That a time will come upon mankind, upon people, where someone who is holding on to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it will be as though he's holding on to a burning coal, a cinder, a fire. When you do a barbecue, when you're making them ribs and the burgers and you're flipping them burgers, try to hold one of them coals in your hand. The Prophet ﷺ said, before the judgment, there will come a time where a person who really wants to uphold the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, we're not talking about religious tourism where, you know, mashallah, you've been Umrah, you've got a house on, you're paying interest and you've got haram income coming, but you've got a nice white jubba on and you've got some nice oud on and this is your religion. No, this is not the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Qabidu ala deenihi. The one who is holding on to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the way it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be like you are holding on to a burning coal, which is literally burning. And that's how hard it's going to bear. Ulama actually explain that what this hadith means is that the person who is truly upon the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, he will find very, very few people who will help him stay firm on that. And we see that today, subhanAllah. We see how people who want to be on the correct deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone outcast them, excommunicate them, that these people are too extreme, we need to be relaxed. We're in England, we need to open our doors and be more accommodating and all of this. And these are all signs of the day of judgment which the Holy Prophet ﷺ had mentioned in the ahadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. Another one, subhanAllah, and remember, these are, like I said at the beginning, these are not necessarily haram. Yeah? The hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ talking about the masajid. He said, لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس في المساجد. The day of judgment will not come until people will boast over the masajid. I've made a masjid, it cost me £2 million. Then some other haji sahab is going to make a masjid in the same area for £3 million. And then next month going to have a massive chandelier, and you're going to have chandeliers in every room. Then you're going to have underfloor heating. All of these things. In one hadith, Holy Prophet ﷺ, he says, إِذَا زَوَّقْتُم مَسَاجِدَكُمْ وَزَيَّنْتُم مَصَاحِفَكُمْ فَالدَّمَارُ عَلَيْكُمْ. That when you start decorating your Qur'an, you know the Qur'an that we read, when you start decorating them, or when you start decorating your masajid, and putting glitter and glamour and paintings and all of these things, فَالدَّمَارُ عَلَيْكُمْ, then destruction upon you. Why? Because the masjid wasn't, it's not a place where you experiment your architect and all of this, and experiment your different gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you in terms of how you design it and all of that. There's nothing wrong in making a masjid nice. We're talking about overdoing it in terms of the decoration. And again, with the Quran, putting calligraphy and all of that on it, that's not the purpose. Look how many Qurans we have today. In the masjid, for example, in your home, all of us will have so many Qurans. But where is the Quran in the life of the Ummah? Look at Masjid al-Nabawi, people donate Qurans there. Yeah, and when every Haji that goes for Hajj, they all get a Quran as they're going boarding their plane again. That's like how many? 3 million Qurans every Hajj. That's on top of the other Qurans that people sell. But where is the Quran in the life of the Muslim today? Yeah? Where is the Quran in governance? Where is the Khilafah? Where is the Deen of Allah Azza wa Jal? Where we judge by the Quran? It's not there. So, and that in another hadith, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned that before the Day of Judgment, what will happen with the Quran? It will come back and start buzzing around the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will have a buzzing sound of like the buzzing of a bee. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, what's wrong with you? And the Quran will say that, I am utla walam u'mal. I am recited, but I'm not acted upon. Just like the Yahud banging their heads in front of the wall or reading. That's unfortunately what most of us do. Yeah. Someone sent a very interesting WhatsApp and they said, in many countries and even in our countries as well, subhanAllah, someone who finishes memorizing the Quran, you have a massive party, Jalsa Khatm al-Quran. Again, I'm not talking about halal or haram. I'm not saying this haram. I'm just giving you an example and the reality. Yeah? That they have a massive gathering, naan gosh, mashallah, mitte chawal, soji, halwa, all of this, and mashallah, putr has become hafiz, party at home as well, birthday cake, party cake, Quran cake, whatever you want to call it. But when someone calls towards practicing the Quran, then he's thrown into prison. It's as simple as that. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, do you ever remember Khatm al-Quran Jalsa? Did anyone, you know, do a Khatm al-Quran Jalsa? They didn't need to, because they knew that the objective of the Quran is not just to recite it. And I'm not saying you can't recite it, of course you have to recite it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِ. Those whom we have given the book to, they يَتْلُونَهُ. Most of us, we translate it as tilawa. يَتْلُونَهُ literally means, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْقُرْآنُ لِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ. إِنَّمَا نَزَلَ الْقُرْآنُ لِيُعْمَلَ بِهِ فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ قِرَاءَتَهُ عَمَلًا. That indeed the Quran was sent down so that people act upon it. But people have taken its recitation as the action. And that's it, it's left as that. So coming back to the point, subhanAllah, when you call towards the Quran, then obviously you'll be labelized, you know, for whatever label you can think of. But when you recite the Quran and just do that, nice beautiful voice, echo in the system, no problem. MashaAllah, you're doing very good. And that's what this hadith is talking about. إِذَا زَيَّنْتُمْ مَسَاحِفَكُمْ. That when you beautify your Quran, فَالدَّمَارُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Then destruction will be upon you, meaning the Day of Judgment is closer. Why? Because you've gone away, your focus has gone from the actual objective of the Quran, which was to implement it and to act upon the Quran and the verses of the Holy Quran, which is mentioned in there. Another one, subhanAllah, many sisters will be very unhappy with this, and they should be as well, because it's a sign of the Day of Judgment. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, صِنْفَانِ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ لَمْ أَرَهُمَا. There's two categories of the people of the hellfire, two types of people from the hellfire, which I haven't seen. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I haven't seen them. Meaning they didn't appear during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first one, he said, قَوْمٌ مَعَهُمْ سِيَاتٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. A people who will have whips like the tails of cows. Obviously, we just had our qurbani now. The tails of cows, how they are, thin and then thick, or thick and then thin. Like that, the Prophet ﷺ says, a people will appear who will have whips like that. And it could be, ulama have said, it could be in, you know, the batons and the other sticks that the police use, or the riot police use. So he says, قَوْمٌ مَعَهُمْ سِيَاتٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهِ النَّاسِ. They will hit people with that. And in another hadith, the ulama, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and the ulama explained that these are the security apparatus of the government, the tyrannical governments that we have in today's day and age. Yeah, in police states, yeah, where tyrants rule. Yeah, just look what's happening in France recently over the killing of that brother Nahil, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him Jannah. How people are being abused. Yeah, this is something which the Prophet ﷺ didn't see himself. And it's one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. And you see it in the Arab world when the Arab Spring happened, 2011. You see how people were pelted, how they were hit and trying to suppress the uprising at that time. No mercy whatsoever. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said, قَوْمٌ مَعَهُمْ سِيَاتٌ كَأَذْنَابِ الْبَقَرِ يَضْرِبُونَ بِهَا النَّاسِ. And the next one, he said, the second type of people which I haven't seen from the people of the hellfire is نِسَاءٌ كَاسِيَاتٌ عَارِيَاتٌ مُمِيلَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ. Women, كَاسِيَاتٌ, who will be كَاسِيَاتٌ, mean, you know, the dua for clothing, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي كَسَانِي. So the Prophet ﷺ said, نِسَاءٌ, women, كَاسِيَاتٌ, who will be clothed, but still عَارِيَاتٌ, they'll still be naked. مُمِيلَاتٌ مَائِلَاتٌ, they will be enticing to others, to men of course, and they themselves will be enticed to do evil. Now imagine that. How can someone be clothed and still be naked? The ulama have explained, either they will wear see-through clothing, and obviously in England you don't need to explain this. You know, when the temperature hits 15, 16, 20 degrees, you see what happens on our streets. Forget the kuffar. Yeah, obviously, they don't have any direction. They don't have a religion to follow. We're talking about Muslims. How many of our women are dressed but still undressed. Dressed but still naked. So either clothing will be see-through or the clothing of women will be very, very tight. Just like, you know, you shrink wrap a pallet or food, you know, it's so tight, the cling film, you can see everything inside or you can see the shape. Both of these situations are haram. The Prophet ﷺ said, Nisa'un kasiyatun aliyat. This will happen. These are the people of the hellfire. Mumilatun ma'ilatun, they will be inclined towards men and they in themselves will be want to entice men. And ru'usuhunna ka'aslimatil bukhtil ma'ila. The Prophet ﷺ says that their heads will be like the humps of the bacterian camel. If you've seen the bacterian camel, any camel, they have the hump and it's slightly slanted. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is how their heads will be. How do our sisters wear the hijab, subhanAllah? You know, Imam Qurtubi, he talks about istighfar and he mentioned the point. He says that, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْفَرَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُصِرٌ عَلَى الذُّنُوبِ فَإِسْتِغْفَارُهُ يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى اسْتِغْفَارُ. That someone who does istighfar, like many of us, we make dua after salah, or you know, dua any time, and we're doing astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and your heart's talking, you're thinking about what the football match was, or what you saw on Netflix, and this and that. So he says that, أَمَّا مَنِ اسْتَغْفَرَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُصِرٌ عَلَى الذُّنُوبِ. Someone who does istighfar, while he still wants to carry out that same sin, he's doing istighfar from, then his istighfar needs another istighfar. That's what Imam Qurtubi said. So this, in this hadith, Holy Prophet ﷺ, when he mentioned that the women's head will be like the hump of a bacterian camel, how do our women do the hijab? Yeah, either they have no hair or they have hair but they want more hair, so they put that little, what do they call it, the bubble or whatever, or, you know, whatever they buy, to make their head look big. A'udhu billah. And for us, obviously as men, you know, it's our duty as men, as fathers, as husbands, that you stop your wife from doing this, or you stop your family members, your women folk from doing this. If you're responsible for bringing in the money, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum masulun an ra'iyatihi," that all of you are responsible, and you'll be asked regarding your responsible, your subjects on the day of judgment. So you will be asked, if your wife, and you are, mashallah, posting selfies on Instagram and WhatsApp, and your wife's not got no hijab on and all of that, and she's been part of this hadith, which the Prophet ﷺ said that they will be from the fire of hell, not me or any other Maulvi sahab, then it's our duty to stay away from this. This is, like I mentioned at the beginning, not every sign is haram or halal. This is a haram sign of the day of judgment, which many of us are involved in. Yeah? So, especially for sisters, inshallah, if you are doing this, it's never too late. Repent and turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Live your life with Allah, like the Nasheed was mentioning. So that's what in that hadith. وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَتُوجَدُ مِن مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. The Prophet ﷺ says that these people will not enter Jannah and neither will they smell the fragrance of Jannah. Neither will they smell the fragrance of Jannah. وَإِنَّ رِيحَهَا لَتُوجَدُ مِن مَسِيرَةِ كَذَا وَكَذَا. The Prophet ﷺ says the fragrance of Jannah is going to be smelled for years and years. But these people, these men who walk around with these whips, and these women who dress like this, or who behave like this, they won't even smell the fragrance of Jannah. Imagine that. Again, these are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not my words. Another sign of the day of judgment, subhanAllah, and this is like a positive sign. This will happen to the true believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَمْ يَبْقَ مِنَ النُّبُوَّةِ إِلَّا الْمُبَشِّرَاتِ. That nothing remains from nubuwa, from prophethood, except al-mubashirat, except for glad tidings. قِيلَ وَمَنْ مُبَشِّرَاتِ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The sahabas asked him, Ya Rasulullah, what are the glad tidings? What are the mubashirat? The Prophet replied, الرُّؤْيَ الصَّالِحَ, a righteous, pious dream. Either a believer sees himself, or is seen for him by another believer. And that's what the Holy Prophet ﷺ says in this hadith, إِذَا اقْتَرَبَ الزَّمَانِ, when the day of judgment comes close, meaning you're coming very, very close to the day of judgment, لَمْ تَكَدْ رُؤْيَ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَكْذِبْ. The believer's dream will never fail to be a true and a pious dream. Yeah? As we come close to the day of judgment, your dreams, I'm talking about not your dream and in terms of what I want to get in this world and my luxuries and all of that, I'm talking about the dreams when you're sleeping. Some of us, mashallah, we see dreams while you were awake as well. We're not talking about them dreams. We're talking about the dreams when you're sleeping. The Prophet ﷺ says, As the time comes close to the Day of Judgment, a believer's dream will never fail to be a true one. And ulama have explained that this is when there'll be so much confusion within the ummah of the Holy Prophet ﷺ. So much haqq and batil being mixed up. So many false and bogus ulama who will mix the truth with falsehood to present it and to make it presentable and acceptable by the wider community. You know, it's okay to have a third gender. It's okay to be party with people who oppose the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. And these type of fatwas will come out at that time. If you are a true believer, as the Prophet ﷺ said, أَصْدَقُكُمْ رُؤْيًا أَصْدَقُكُمْ حَدِيثًا, that the most truthful in your dreams will be the one who says the dream, the one who speaks the truth during the day. And ulama have explained that this is talking about iman as well. So if you have true iman, strong iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you through righteous dreams. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you through righteous dreams. You won't need to go to any alim for an interpretation. Allah will tell you in the dream very clearly that this is the way you need to go, this is where you need to stay away from, this is where this is what you need to do. And I'll finish off with one hadith of the Holy Prophet, well, two hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because I know Maghrib Salah is very soon. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. The Islam started as a strange thing, and it will return to be a strange thing. فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. Glad tidings, i.e. Jannah, for the ghuraba, the strangers. How did Islam start? Who was the first believer? Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then you had Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then Uthman. Then Abu Dhar Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so on and so forth. It started as a strange thing. The people of Makkah saying, what's this man on about? What's this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talking about? You know, why is he coming with this new religion? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said before the Day of Judgment, and coming back to the first hadith I mentioned, that the person will be like holding onto the coal. The Prophet ﷺ said it will return back to that. Now imagine today, 1 in 5 people is a Muslim in the world. So that's like over 1.5 billion people are Muslim today. But the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you will return, Islam will return as a strange thing. How is that possible? Where is this 1.5 billion people going to go? The answer was given at the beginning. That it's not talking about if you're Muslim by name on your passport, on your national insurance number, on your driving license, your name is Muhammad or Adam. This doesn't count, because you don't take this with you into the grave. What counts is what's inside the heart. What counts is what's inside the heart. So the Prophet, when he mentioned that you'll become strange like that, small in number, he's talking about true believers. May Allah make us among them people. And the last hadith, and this subhanAllah is a very scary one, wallahi. Many of the Hajj sahab, if you've been for Hajj in the 70s, even in the 80s, you've seen the color of the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was brown in color at that time. This hadith reported by Imam Ahmad in his Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he turned around speaking to the Sahaba, he said to the Sahaba, Yawmul Khalasi wa ma Yawmul Khalas. Yawmul Khalasi wa ma Yawmul Khalas. He said it 3 times that the day of rescue, or the day of running, and what is the day of running? The Sahabas asked him, Ya Rasulullah, wa ma yawmul khalas? What day are you talking about? What is the day of rescue or the day of running? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, قال يجيء الدجال فيسعد أحدا فينظر المدينة فيقول انظر إلى هذا القصر الأبيض هذا قصر أحمد. He says Dajjal will come under the end of time, and he will, obviously he can't enter Makkah or Medina. Every time he tries to enter, he finds an angel with his sword ready to deal with him. But he will enter Uhud. He will climb the mountain of Uhud. From this we learn that the mountain of Uhud itself is not part of the hudud of Medina, because Allah will allow him to climb the mountain of Uhud. So the Prophet ﷺ said, Dajjal will come and he will climb the mountain of Uhud. And he will look towards the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, and he will say to his followers, his cronies, انظروا إلى هذا القصر الأبيض. Look at this white palace. هذا قصر أحمد. This is the palace of Ahmed. Now, just imagine, you know, in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, how was the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ? Did it have carpets? Did it have light? Did he have walls? Did he have waterproof roofing? None of this. Even the hadith that talks about the Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet ﷺ, when he was doing sajda at that time, it had rained the night before when the Prophet ﷺ done sajda, he had mud on his forehead. So water would leak into the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ. And it was made out of mud and palm trees and leaves. That was the masjid of Rasulullah ﷺ. Only now, in the last 30 years, that's why I asked if there's any Haji Sahib, he will tell you, that before 1917 at that time, the masjid was brown in color. Now, when you go to Masjid Nabawi, when you go to Medina, especially at night, and you look towards Masjid Nabawi as you're going onto the motorway, what color is the masjid? What color is the masjid? Red? No, the masjid is white. When it's lit up, it's white, and the marble is white. This only happened in the last 30, 40 years. How did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is obviously a miracle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he said that the Dajjal will say when he comes out, that look at the palace, and look at the wording, he said, انظر إلى هذا القصر الأبيض. Look at, he didn't say masjid, he said, look at this white palace. In the Masjid of Nabawi today, does it not look like, does it not feel like a palace? Everything marble, calligraphy, chandeliers, speakers, air condition, you name it, you know, all the facilities there. Yeah? Beautiful architecture, you know, a structure and you know, a material being used there. And it's all white. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the Dajjal will say this when he climbs the mountain of Uhud in order to fight the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this 1400 years ago, and it happened in our lifetime. And just before I finish, the hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he says, talking about the Dajjal, he says, يَخْرُجُ الدَّجَّال حِينَ غَفْلَةٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَحَتَّى تَتَقُ الْأَيْمَةُ ذِكْرُهُ عَلَى الْمَنَابِرِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That the Dajjal will come out at a time when people will not have him in their minds. People will not talk about him. People will not even mention him. وَحَتَّى تَتْرُكُ الْأَيْمَةُ ذِكْرُهُ عَلَى الْمَنَابِرِ. The Prophet ﷺ said that he will come at a time when the imams will not even mention him on the minbar. Now imagine, subhanAllah, when was the last time you heard, I'm not talking about your imams, so don't get me wrong, it doesn't matter if you don't call me here, I didn't come here because I wanted to, the brothers called me, so I'm not talking about your imam. When was the last time our imams in any masajid talked about the Dajjal? SubhanAllah. You know, in our salah, when we did our tahiyyat, tahiyyatu lillahi wa salatu wa tawiyyatu salamu alaik, and then durood sharif, and after that, what do we read? Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi dhulman kathiran wa la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. According to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, who's again one of the four imams, a great imam, it's wajib for him, well, according to his fiqh, it's wajib to read the following dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhab jahannam wa min adhab al-qabr wa min fitnat al-mahya wal mamat wa min sharri fitnat al-masih al-dajjal. This dua is wajib according to them to read this in at-tahiyyat, that Allah protect you from the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. Imagine that. مَا مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا وَقَدْ أَنذَرَ قَوْمَهُ مِنَ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. Every prophet that came from Adam to the Prophet ﷺ, they all warned the people, protect yourself, safeguard yourself from the fitna of Dajjal. Yeah? And this is the state that we're in today, subhanAllah. And everything that we see around us, in terms of how the world is shaping and moving, and the political state of the world is moving, it's all gearing towards what's going to happen towards the end of time with Masih al-Dajjal and Isa alayhi salam. And the only way we can protect ourselves is by strengthening our iman and our tawheed. That's the only way. Brother Junaid mentioned, and I'll finish with this, he mentioned that the three questions, imagine you ask a little child, one of the kids sitting there, what's the three questions in the grave? He'll tell you straight away. Allah is my Lord, Prophet Muhammad is my messenger, and my deen is Islam. So easy. But it's not your lisan that's going to speak in the grave. It's what's going to be in your heart. And that's why the Sahaba, they would say that kunna ghulaman hazabira, that we were young children at the age of 8, 9, 10 years old. فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْإِيمَانِ ثُمَّ تَعَلَّمْنَا الْقُرْآنِ. So we started focusing by learning iman, learning about Allah Azza wa Jalla, learning about Tawheed. Then we started learning Qur'an. فَازْدَدْنَا بِالْقُرْآنِ إِيمَانًا. So then the Qur'an increased us in our iman. Today we do the opposite, we learn the Qur'an first, we do the khatam of the Qur'an, and mashallah, that's it. He's done enough. He's prayed, he's done his duty. But he doesn't know who Allah Azza wa Jal is. He doesn't know why he's praying his salah. Why does he bow down his head to only one and he can't bow it down to anyone else? He doesn't know who Allah Azza wa Jalla is. He doesn't know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be worshipped. So tawheed is lacking in our ummah. And I finish with a statement of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When someone asked him, Ya Rasulullah, Mata sa'a? O Prophet of Allah, when is the Day of Judgment? So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Instead of telling him and giving him a date, he said, وَمَا أَعْدَدْتَ لَهَا? What have you prepared for it? And that's the question I leave you with, inshallah. What are we preparing for the Day of Judgment? And مَنْ مَاتَ فَقَدْ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتِهُ? Whoever passes away, then his qiyamah has started. And do we know, we all know our date of birth. Do we know our date of death? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to prepare for our death. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us away before the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدُ.
MashaAllah, tabarakAllah, an in-depth bayan there on the signs of the Day of Judgment. Shaykh could have gone on for a bit longer, but with time constraints, inshaAllah, we can save it for another time, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve the Shaykh for taking out the time. Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him barakah, happiness and success in his health, world, time and iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to instill in our lives what we have heard here today. This is the most important thing, that inshallah, when we leave, will we take something back with us home and spread this message and propagate this message that look, we don't have much time left on this earth. Wallahi, every single one of us will regret it. This is not just about helping the ummah and forgetting about yourself as well. When we are helping the ummah, let's think about ourselves as well. And it's very, very important that we try to slowly instill these qualities, these values, this thought that we are all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what have we prepared, like Shaykh mentioned. Also, if brothers do want to get involved with Ummah Welfare Trust and volunteer with us, alhamdulillah, we have many fundraisers, we have, you know, the collections, we have volunteers with us here today from Blackburn, from Preston, you know, and from Bolton, mashallah, from Hyde. So we have brothers also come here today. We are hoping, inshallah ta'ala, any youngsters, any elders, anyone with a profession that can't even donate time, that can give us something that they might have, any skill that they might have, which might benefit Ummah Welfare Trust, which will ultimately benefit the Ummah, please do come forward at the back. We have volunteer forms as well, where you can just fill in your details. We will get back to you, inshallah ta'ala. And this will be an amazing sadaqatun jariyah for yourself and for your families, inshallah ta'ala. Lastly, you know, those who do not thank the people are not thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, I would like to reiterate this point. Jazakumullahu khair. Your donations, your du'as and your contributions have been a lifeline for many widows, orphans, elderly, sick, oppressed, homeless people around the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase you in your wealth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all barakah, happiness and success in your health, wealth, time and iman. And inshallah, this is not the last time that we come here to Masjid Hamza. Inshallah, we do not have another crisis where Masjid Hamza have to respond. But if there is a crisis, then please do respond continuously. Keep continuing to to increase your generosity as well. And if anybody has any questions, please do visit us at the back, inshallah ta'ala, after Maghrib Salah. We will spend some time with yourselves, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all once again. And inshallah, we will end the program. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifoon. Wassalamun ala al-mursaleen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.